show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past, present, and future.
High fly ball. Motley going back to the track. No outs to go. The Royals have won the 1985 World Series.
Davis comes to the plate. Strike three called. It's over. They've done it. The Royals are World Series champions. The world champion Kansas City Royals.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the Kansas City Baseball Vault, brought to you by Kelly's Westport Inn, a baseball prospectus affiliate. Folks, well, there's Royals baseball, and it does in fact exist. We'll get to that here in a minute. But first, of course, I am Jeff Hur, and with me is the man the Chiefs did not trade up to select, but maybe should have. Mike, how are you doing on this? Well, it's an evening.
It's an evening. Yeah. Yes. I'm all right, I guess.
Do you know why I mentioned that? I know you're not the biggest Chiefs fan, but you kept up on the draft, right? You know about the.
I followed along.
There you go.
I was really hoping they would trade up and then draft an offensive lineman because I like chaos.
You're an agent of chaos, some would say.
I guess. I just kind of thought my timeline would be really funny for about half an hour to a week.
It would have been an epic meltdown.
Yeah.
That would have been massively felt across the city. But thankfully, the Chiefs did not do that. They traded up and selected a quarterback in the first round. Literally, for the first time in my lifetime. Have you... What year were you born, if you don't mind me asking?
1980.
80. So you were alive. You weren't cognizant of it.
I had literally no idea who the Chiefs were in 1983.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I'd have been about two and a half-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for the first time in my lifetime, and basically yours as well.
Pretty. May as well be. Yeah. I didn't really know the Chiefs were until I was like eight.
Fair enough.
So.
But anyway, they've charted a new course for the – they're not quite moving there yet, but they're slowly getting there. But speaking of possible Twitter meltdowns, across the parking lot, the Kansas City Royals are on the verge – maybe not even on the verge. Maybe it's already there. I don't know. Of pushing the Royals Twitterverse past off the precipice and into the dark abyss below, if you can imagine some sort of a clever Photoshopped GIF where somebody falling, say Gandalf from Lord of the Rings, falling down into the great beyond and different years are floating by, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007. That's what it feels like as you slowly get down to the abyss as you move towards 2005 was the worst year in Royals history. So it's not going to get that bad this year, but it at least feels like falling back towards that direction. So we're standing here. As we sit today, the Royals had a day game, so this is as up-to-date as we can bring you on this show. The Royals are 9-18, folks. They are six games out of first place. We're not even going to go to the wild card. We're not going there. But, you know, interesting thing, of course, that, you know, nobody thought the Twins would be any good. They're 14-12, but they won six games against the Royals. Nobody thought the White Sox would be good. They're in full-on rebuild mode, and they're 15-12 because they've won five games against the Royals. And now the Royals have a set with Cleveland coming up. You know, the Royals, this is May 4th. May the 4th be with you.
And also with you.
It's May 4th. The Royals lost to the White Sox today. Last night, on May the 3rd, so I have an interesting story about this, but you've already heard it, but I'll say it again so the listeners can know. But they had a really good game last night, and it looked like, you know, Eric Hosmer has been slowly kind of heating up a little bit, and don't look now, but he's got a batting average above 240 So
about
he's been starting
even.
It was 250 last night. They haven't updated the stats from where I'm where I'm looking right now. But yes, after today's game, it is over 250. That's
he's
right.
At
so
252.
So I mean, that's like, you know, it's definitely not anywhere near where he needs to be, but it's at least everyday major league player level.
True.
It's not 170, you know. And he's been getting big hits. He's been getting home runs. He's been hitting. He's been getting RBIs, et cetera, et cetera. He had a really good game last night and a pretty good game today, actually. But, you know, regardless, they won last night in probably their best game of the season, a really good performance by Nate Karns, and they follow that up with a stinker today. Before we get to today's game, my story. So we put my daughter to bed, and I turn on the game. You know, my wife, she wasn't feeling very well, so that's why we didn't record last night, actually, because I was hanging out with her, making sure there wasn't anything she needed. But so she decides to go to bed early. She's not feeling well. So I'm up. I'm just watching the game, laying on the couch, no big deal. And the Royals have a really good sixth inning. They score three runs. They go up 3-0, okay? And so I'm laying on the couch watching the game. I kind of doze off for a little bit. It happens. What are you going to do? I'm an old man now. So I'll be 32 soon. But anyway,
so old.
So I kind of doze off a little bit, and then I wake up and it's still Royals are winning 3-0. It's the bottom of the seventh. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, I fell asleep for like 15 minutes, whatever. I didn't miss much. And then I lift up my phone and look at it, and it's 1:30 in the morning. So I fell asleep in the bottom of the sixth inning. I don't know what time that would have been, 9 o'clock, say. And I slept all through the rest of the game, all through the post game show, all through the replay, and woke up at essentially the exact point that I initially had fallen asleep, to where I had only thought that I'd missed about 15 minutes of my life, and it turned out to be about 4 hours. So that's kind of interesting. That's
a time warp. So
yes, it's, you know, and it's happened to me a few times in situations where, say, like, do you have HBO?
I used to. Not. I'm waiting for Game of Thrones to come back.
Fair enough. But you're familiar with their Sunday night programming. You know, they have like two
absolutely.
Or three shows every Sunday night that they play, and then they just start it right back up, and then after they're all done, they play them again. So you basically have two chances to watch them, you know, before midnight, roughly. So I've had times like that, too, where I'll be watching a show, and I'll accidentally kind of fall asleep because I'm pretty tired, and then I'll wake up at essentially the same point that I fell asleep, but it's this really weird feeling of a time warp. And, you know, I had to wonder to myself today if I – maybe actually did warp back in time somehow and screw up things for the Royals to where they've been switched with the 2011 team all of a sudden.
Right.
No confirmation on that. But
we haven't figured that out. But they're
there's no way to sugarcoat it. It's bad.
Yeah, they've been, you know. Even when they had good pitching, you know, a couple weeks ago, they had no offense to speak of. They've had weird games where the bullpen doesn't do anything. They had the weird series in Minnesota where they walked everybody. You know, I don't know. I went to that game on Friday, the Rusty Coons bobblehead day, which was – that was fun. But it was cold.
Yay. So Do you have the bobblehead?
I do.
Can you, like, put it up to your microphone and let us hear this what it says?
We'll have to take a break and I can do that.
Okay.
I can do that in a sec.
After the break.
Let me finish my story and I can go grab and then we'll go from here.
Okay.
So like I leave in the seventh inning after Brandon Moss hits a homer. Royals are up 4-2. I figure they can probably close this out. So I get in, I'm like, you know, we'll go out to the parking lot. I walk to my car, get in the car. I turn on the game just to kind of hear it, and you know, that's when the meltdown started. And it's just like one of those things where it's like what can go wrong is going wrong in a lot of cases. So it's just – it's bad. It's frustrating to watch. The Royals will have a good game. You know, a couple days ago they had a good game. Yesterday they had a good game, and they followed up with a stinker. You know, it seemed like Derek Holland today was going to throw a perfect game for a little bit there. Jose Quintana on would have been Tuesday just dominated. You know, eight innings, didn't even break a sweat, really. So it's a little frustrating to see that the Royals have this big, steep hill to climb, and they make no ground on it because they just disappear. You know, the offense just stops. They're at least scoring more than two runs at a time a lot of the time now, but, you know, it just seems like, okay, they can score some runs, and, you know, like today, they didn't do a lot, but they finally put some runs up, but they'd given up eight. You know, Ian Kennedy got hit hard. Travis Wood came in to try to cover some innings. He got hit hard. You know, it seems like for every guy who's kind of figuring something out, another guy is starting to fall back. It's just not going well. And nothing's kind of clicking on any cylinders, really. I mean, the only guy who's done really decent job every time out, and not even that, he had one rough start against Chicago, is like Jason Vargas. That's the only guy who's really been consistently good. You know, you kind of have to overlook that one start, but that's it. You know, it's tough. It's tough to see that the lineup can't do anything. And so, you know, the season started with Kane and Moustakas and Sal Perez were all hitting well and getting on base and hitting for power. Well, not Kane, but the other two were. And now they're all kind of starting to fall back. At least you have, you know, Eric Hosmer's kind of starting to pick things up. That's really about it. You know, that's about all that's going on is, you know, you have maybe one guy who's playing well in that lineup and a couple guys who are kind of getting by and then a couple guys who aren't doing well at all. And that's not going to work. It's not working so far, and it's not going to work if it continues that way. So it's really frustrating to deal with, well, all of that.
Yes, it absolutely is. And actually, we're going to – it probably won't – we can probably edit this out so you guys won't notice. But we're going to take a break right now because I got to be cheered up by hearing Rusty Kuntz's bobblehead voice. So this will be instantaneous.
No, I'm not going to edit it out.
You're not going to edit it out?
Yeah.
They can deal?
Yeah, you just fill the airtime for about 30 seconds while I go get the bobblehead, and then we'll do that. Okay?
All right. I will do that.
Okay. So, and this will be a surprise to me too once I go to edit the podcast. Okay, I'll be right back.
All right. So, I'm pretty upset that I, more so than the actual Royals performance, I'm upset that I meant to get tickets to the Rusty Kuntz bobblehead game, and I completely just didn't. I got no excuse. I got nothing for anything. And are you back?
I'm back.
You're back. I was telling them, well, you'll see, but I'm jealous of you and your Rusty Kuntz bobblehead.
This was when the individual games went on sale. This was the only one I went out on my way to go get. I was like, I'm going to get that thing. One, it's a Rusty Kuntz bobblehead, which
that's good enough on its own.
That's cool. And then it's like, oh, and it talks? Well, I wasn't even expecting that. Okay, so I'm going to try to get this as, you know, close to the microphone. So if you're a Royals fan and you did not get this thing, then it's worth trying to get. And it'll pick you up. Let's see if you can hear this. We'll see. I hope so.
Oh, player! Now you're cooking!
You hear that?
that was perfect, dude. That was fantastic. Is that all he says? Is there another phrase?
Oh, there are two more.
Wow! That's why you're the best!
All right, and the third one.
All right, that a boy. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, player, now you're cooking.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so fantastic.
On the way into the stadium that night, one of the friends I was going out there with ran into someone from Royals Promotions who they, I think they're in their running group or something. And so stopped to talk and we're like, okay, were there outtakes? They're like, yeah, there were a few things. Like, she said that they recorded over the winter. So they had Rusty come in, took him up into the office, took him about 15 minutes to maybe get things going. But he was like, didn't really know what to say. He was like, what am I supposed to do for something like this? And they were like, well, just think about, like, you're at a game. What are you going to say to these guys? What are you going to say to different people? And so that kind of got him thinking about moments, and he could kind of get going. But yeah, I don't know what the content of the outtakes were. I would be interested to know. And I asked them if maybe they recorded a special, Ned Yost only bobblehead or something with Rusty, like, I don't know, saying off-color baseball guy things. They wouldn't confirm that there was one. So probably not a bootleg Rusty bad joke bobblehead there.
Was that the same night that Morgan Fairchild was randomly at a game with a Royals jersey and cozying up to Rusty himself?
Quite cozy.
Wow, that's why you're the best.
Boom, there it is. Thanks, Rusty.
He's got a little fist pump action. The hair's really weird, but that's...
This needs to be a permanent fixture on the show.
The Rusty? It's going to be that kind of year.
We're gonna need some pick me ups.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Anyway, see, that's a pick me up, right? Thanks, Rusty. I feel so much better now. I'm ready to go for the rest of this show. Thanks to Rusty, via his bobblehead form.
Yeah. The Morgan Fairchild was super random, but
it was really weird, and it was like
why is she a baseball fan? I don't know.
Is she a Royals fan? Like, normally when they have some sort of random celebrity that's just here, there's some sort of tweeting out their connection, especially if they're in town with somebody to promote, right?
Yeah.
So I remember I was at a game. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before. I can't remember. But Haley Atwell, throughout the first pitch, she played Agent Carter on TV and in the Avengers movies, or Captain America / Avengers movies as well. And she's British, right? So okay. I'm like, what the hell is she doing at a Royals game? I'm not complaining because she's awesome, but I don't understand it. And then I come to find out that she's like half British, in the sense that one of her parents is American, and her like grandma or something, or one of her grandparents or something, is from Kansas City. So she does have a connection, and as much as she supports baseball, I think she supports the Royals like all the time, not just like, hey, cause I'm here to throw out the first pitch.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I'm like, okay, that makes sense to me. Morgan Fairchild's here.
Sure.
Tell me why. Tell me why Royals Twitter, the official Royals account, didn't say anything. Jeffrey Flanagan didn't say anything. Joel Goldberg didn't say anything. They all talked about Morgan Fairchild, but they didn't say why she was there. It was my Twitter vision quest for that was Friday. So
yeah,
last Friday that was my Twitter vision quest, and I didn't. I eventually found out that she was in town for some sort of performance at the New Theater Restaurant. It was some sort of play or something that she was in.
Yep. It was like the Dixie Wives Club, or I don't remember what it was called. It was something Dixie.
But whatever. But then it even becomes more perplexing, because you would think, like, hey, Morgan Fairchild's going to show up. She's going to, pub the Royals a little bit. We'll throw out some pub for her via the Twitter account, because we're generating activity. I retweeted stuff. I thought it was funny. So, if you would think they'd be like, oh, Morgan Fairchild, who's in town for her performance at the New Theater Dinner, stopped by. That's the normal thing to do. But nobody did that. It was so strange.
She's here.
Yeah, what? There's Morgan Fairchild, and she's
no explanation.
Tussling Rusty Kuntz's hair to show that it's real.
I always just figured, I assumed when I first saw it that, maybe he was a big fan of hers back in the day, and they went out of the way to bring her in. I was like, okay, cool. And we asked, in the chat with BP Kansas City, and Dave Leskey was like, oh, yeah, they dated. I was like, oh, wait. Couldn't tell if he was joking or not, because it was like,
don't mess with me on this.
It was like, it's plausible. They didn't.
That is within the realm of possibility.
Or at least,
so far as we know.
As far as we know, they did not. So
it looks awfully familiar with each other.
Yeah, he did. I don't know if it's just because I have no idea. There was never an explanation. It was just
shall not speculate.
The unexplained Morgan Fairchild appearance. She didn't. I don't even think she threw out the first pitch.
No, I think she was just there in the.
She was
game.
Just there. They didn't have her on in the. Well, I don't know. Did they have her on the TV broadcast? I don't know.
I don't remember seeing her.
Well, I don't. Didn't. Well, I don't get it.
I don't either.
I think that's one of those.
I didn't watch the full game, so maybe they snuck her up into the booth at one point and she was talking. I don't know.
I think this is a glitch in the matrix, and
it is.
You messed up with your weird sleep pattern.
It's true. I do have a weird sleep pattern.
Well, you have a kid, so
I have a kid, but as much as I'd love to blame my weird sleep pattern on the kid, it's my own nerdiness that keeps me awake, as I have too many nerdy hobbies that I like to do. I if I could eliminate sleep from my life, I would. I'd do so much more stuff. Like, I like staying up late on the weekends, right? I stay up really late on the weekends, intentionally. Not because I'm out drinking or anything. I just like stay up late doing stuff. I got all these hobbies. My wife makes fun of me for it. But, you know, what are you going to do? It keeps me sane in a world that's increasingly going more and more insane.
Yeah.
And I suppose we're doing a good job of avoiding the actual topic here.
Right, right.
We're here to talk about.
The last thing we really want to talk about is the Royals, because they're not playing well.
There's nothing really good to talk about. They're pretty much.
There's not a whole lot to talk about. There's a couple of positive things to talk about.
Oh, Hosmer. Now you're cooking.
There it is. And that's what he says every time Lorenzo Cain gets a hit, which is quite often, because Lorenzo Cain is having, with the exception of home runs,
he had a little downturn there for a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
But he's still taking walks, still having good plate appearances. So
yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize his batting average had dipped this low. He's down to .264 now, but a .380 on base percentage. He's taken 17 walks already this season, and his career high is 37.
Yep.
So
he should pass that.
Yes, that is pretty impressive. So I mean, if Lorenzo Cain, okay, he's only got one home run, so the power is not there, and the batting average has dipped. But his defense so far this season, 27 games, you know, small sample size, all that. But he looks fresher out there than he did last season. You know, it was so funny last night watching that game. What inning was it? Was it the sixth inning? Maybe it was or before that. But when he got on base, and it was like three or four times that they threw over to first base to try and tag him.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, it's just like we've talked about it before, but he always has that, like, you know, 58-year-old man getting up from picking something up off the floor kind of look to him. So he would just dive back to first, and then he would, like, kick the leg out real wide, and he would, like, he'd start to get up, and then he'd, like, throw – he would, like, sag his head down for a second, like he was in pain or something. And then he would get up, and he'd do the thing where you, like, arch the back backwards and lift the head up in the air. He's just, like, classic total – like just dad move.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And I'm a dad, so I can say that, because that's what I do when I pick my daughter up off the ground because my back hurts. These are things that happen. So, but it's
just
so funny.
I have a kid, my back hurts. So
yeah. There you go. It's just so funny that, like, we talked about it on the show, and that I just every time I just started laughing because, I mean, three or four times in a row he does the same thing. It's like, man, Lorenzo Cain. I love the guy though. He's one of my, if not my old, he might be my all-time favorite Royals player at this point. But
all time.
Well, I mean,
of this current,
like,
group.
No, like considering, okay, my lifetime.
Okay.
You know, the players that I've seen. You know, like, I could go from players that I knew and stuff, like, or that I know of and have seen, you know, seen clips of and stuff. But, like, you know, George Brett feels too cliche to me. Everybody loves
everybody.
George.
It's everybody, like, picks George, you know, Brett. Yeah.
And, you know, there's like, oh, my like favorite
guys you were able to see in their prime, basically.
Yeah. You know, so
okay.
Of
that's
guys,
fair. Cause I didn't really see George Brett in his prime either. So,
yeah. I mean, kind of hypocritical because I say my favorite Chiefs player is Bobby Bell, and I definitely didn't see him. play. But, you know, at the same time, like, I don't know, whatever. I don't have to, these are my rules.
Your favorite is your favorite. You can,
yeah, but can have that. It was Billy Butler before. And, you know, as I'm sure people could gather, cause I always defended him, but, so, you know, no offense to Billy Butler, but the bar's not exactly the highest, in terms of, but there's also a, there's like a longevity factor there, you know, like not longevity, but, you know, one of the things that I liked about Billy Butler, despite his brashness and stuff, like I felt that underneath it all, he did have a love for Kansas City. He enjoyed the city, even if it was like not easy for him to show it, you know, because he was just kind of a weird guy.
Yeah.
So guys like Johnny Damon and Jermaine Dye, you know, from what I remember as a child, when those guys were there, I'm not really a child, but you know, a younger person and a teenager, when those guys were in Kansas City, it didn't feel like they were enamored with the city. They were just like, oh, Kansas City's a fine place.
They were just there.
Yeah. This is the team that drafted me, so I'm going to play for them and do the best I can, you know? And that's what they did.
Biding their time.
There's nothing wrong with that. But for me, as a fan, picking a favorite player, I feel like there's a little bit of that I want from my favorite player, you know? So, anyway, I feel like Lorenzo Cain has that connection to the city and to the fans. And it helps that he is really good.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I mean, he's having himself a really good season so far. I don't say really good, but it started out really good.
It started out good. He hit the little dip. I mean, anytime you have a stretch like that, especially before the middle of May, it's going to affect your numbers. There's no real – there's no good time to have a 3-for-30 stretch.
No.
But, you know, Power hadn't been there. He had a really nice triple yesterday. You know, the speed is there, so the speed's going to be fine. If he's having good at bats –
6-for-6 on stolen bases –
Oh, is he? I didn't even look at his stolen bases.
That's what they said last night.
That's pretty good. So all of that really comes down to, okay, if he's just healthier, well, that's going to give him a pretty good season. So I think the power will come. He's never been a big power guy at any point. I mean, he topped out at 16 in 2015. The signs were kind of there that maybe he's about a 10 to 15 home run guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally fine. He can probably hit 300 most years because he gets enough infield hits. He has a good inside-out swing a lot of the times. And now, if he's going to be taking pitches and working good counts, you know, that's probably going to help him too. So all of that together, I think he's going to end up doing better. You know, he's going to rebound from that bad stretch. The power will come. I wouldn't expect 20 homers, but you should probably be able to see 10. He'll probably go 10 on a stretch.
10 to 12.
Yeah, or he'll hit like 3 over a week or something, and then
what did he have, 3 in one game last year? He had against that Yankees.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That was last year. So yeah. I mean, of his of the 9 home runs he hit, 3 of them were in one game,
and they lost the game.
God, that was my birthday too.
Jeez, that sucks. I know, right? He got the 3 homers though, but
yeah, I'm not expecting much better for this year, to be honest with you.
My birthday's in September, so by the time we get to that, it's going to be
good. Lorenzo Cain might not even be a Royal.
He might not be. It's going to be a really, really weird summer. It's just,
yes, it is.
You know, I don't know.
We're not there.
Plenty of time to reflect on that. Yeah.
Yes. So we'll hold off on those talks, but I mean, Lorenzo Cain's a positive. Eric Hosmer kicking things into gear is a positive, but perhaps the most positive would be still probably Mike Moustakas. He's had a little bit of a downturn himself, but he's still slugging really well. He's got 7 home runs in 27 games, right? So what do we got? Let's see. That's exactly 1/6 of the season. So 42 home run pace.
I'll take it.
I will absolutely take that. Because that's not only a new Royals record, but it's over 40.
It hits your 40 would, your 40 home run requirement.
That would actually bump the Royals as far as
out of the lowest record.
Yep, exactly. Out of the lowest spot. And the Mets would then be moved into the spot of the team with the lowest single season home run record total of all teams in Major League Baseball. Wouldn't that be something? That would be the cherry on top of the Dayton Moore 5-year rebuild Sunday. And, you know, if you're Dayton Moore, thank you. Ha ha! We beat you again. I think if you're Dayton Moore, you tip the cap and you walk off into the sunset at that point. Assuming, of course, Mike Moustakas is still a Royal when that occurs.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think you can count it when they leave.
No.
Too bad.
Fortunately. But, yeah, so...
I don't know. I'll throw some numbers. I took the time to jot down some numbers. So Eric Hosmer, since our last show, is 11 of 26. He's grounded into just one double play. Overall for the year, he's hitting 308 when he hits it to center field. He's hitting 476 when he goes the other way. So that's what he's been doing. You know, he's hit it to center. He's hit it more to left. I'm thinking there might only be a couple of ground balls to second in the last week. Not a whole lot. The double play was even a hard hit ball to third that got turned. Or was it third or to short? It was, I don't recall. But he hit it hard. It just happened to be snagged and turned into a double play. So, you know, I'm not going to – someone hits the ball over 100 miles an hour going the opposite way. I'm not going to have that big of a problem with that.
And what was the one he hit to left center? I think it was left center. And who was it? Darren today was like, that would have been out of 26 different balls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was last night on the sacrifice fly. It was pretty much just straightaway center. Maybe just a little bit to the left of center, and it was tracked down. It was like a 96% hit.
I mean, it was literally against the wall. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it's
like, you can't fault a guy for that. I mean, it sounded good. He roped it. It just so happened that it was, you know, 2 feet short of being a home run.
And he did hit a home run, and it was to left center, you know, over the past week. So if he's doing that, you know, if he can continue to do that for a few months, all is forgiven.
All is definitely forgiven.
But it gets really frustrating to watch when you see what he can do in these kind of stretches and then see him hit that grounder to second all the time. It's so aggravating to watch him do that. That home run came on a day where he hit a grounder to second. I got really angry at him on Twitter. And, so I don't know. It's like anytime we get really, really mad at someone, they hit a home run. So let's...
Yeah, let's keep getting really, really mad.
We get really, really mad at Alex Gordon next.
I think I made the comment. I think Salvador Perez, I want to say second or third inning last night, hit into a double play. And I made the comment on Twitter that double play will be charged to Eric Hosmer. Just because. I, too, am mad at Eric Hosmer. And then, you know, he goes and has a pretty good game for himself. So...
Yeah, if he's coming out of that will help. If Kane's getting on base in front of him, if Moustakas can kind of stay decent, you know, then maybe that 2-3-4 stretch, or even when Moustakas leads off, you know, 1-2-3 or 1-3-4, whatever it is, you know, maybe then they can kind of get something going. But I mean, that's what it's the offense is going to have better approach. They're going to have to start hitting guys. I think they've scored. I don't have the number. It's going to be in the Friday notes on Baseball Prospectus Kansas City, I believe, as done by Dave Lasky. So, but he has some numbers, or he was looking at numbers of the Royals against left-handed starters and the Royals against right-handed starters, and they've done very poorly against left-handed starters. So, that's my shocked face. Yeah, and when your primary guys are, you know, Hosmer, Moustakas, Gordon, even Moss at DH, you know, they're all lefties. And if you want to sit them, you have to bring up guys who've been on the bench all year, like Cuthbert and Cologne and et cetera. And it just has not worked very well yet. So that's a pretty tough split to fight off. If that continues, it's going to be difficult because that's, you know, you only face a lefty about a quarter of the time as a starter, but yeah, that's 40 games worth. That's nothing to sneeze at. So you want to see him do better against some of those guys. And, you know, hopefully that's a trend that stops. You know, they can reverse that and start to hit better against those guys. And, you know, that'll probably come as everybody starts to hit a little bit better over the course of the season, which hopefully that'll be soon because yeah, that's all they're going to be able to do anything.
I'm tired of this the way it currently is.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I mean, so we were talking about this before the show, but if we're to play this out, right, you know, the Royals, if we want to talk playoffs, okay, you know, if we're not ready to talk about blowing everything up yet and we still want to give this thing a shot, what's the realistic possibility? So I heard an interesting stat today on the radio over my I had to in the afternoon I had some training to go to that was at a different location. So I left work and went to train. I'm listening to A10, Sermon Petro show. And they say, over the last 17 years, so I'm guessing they used 2000 as the cutoff. Over the last 17 years, there have been 92 teams, 92, that have had a losing record in the month of April. Not even as bad as the Royals, just a losing record, okay? Of those 92 teams that had a losing record in the month of April, six made the playoffs.
Okay.
Six. So they did the math, and I can't remember what it is, so I'm going to do it really quick. I should be able to do this in my head, right, because I'm an accountant, but we're not going to worry about that.
Should, but...
Six out of 92, that's 0.0, or no, that's 6.5% chance of making the playoffs.
Okay. Never tell me the odds.
No, that's right. Hey, there we go. Mm-hmm. May the fourth be with you.
I already did that.
Oh, yeah, I know, but... It's you followed through. I didn't even expect that. I'm proud of you. That was good. anyway, so but that's just losing record, you know. So you could, you know,
you
11
could be
and
a game
12,
under, yeah.
Yeah, or whatever. Only one team of those six was 9 games under 500.
Ugh.
And it was the 2001 Moneyball Oakland A's. So that, I mean...
It's not a good precedent.
Yeah, so when you've got essentially a 1 in 92 chance, was it like 3%? No, 1%. 1.1%.
A little
chance.
Over 1, yeah.
So you've got a 1% chance, essentially. It's basically just non-zero. Chance,
right?
Of making
you're not mathematically eliminated in
right. May. I mean, are you gonna hold it together for that? You know, and we're not gonna go into whether they should or not. You know, we've got plenty of time to discuss that if things keep going south. But and that's the Royals. That's the question that the Royals have to be asking themselves right now: is are they going to, you know. Do they want to hold out for that slimmest of slim chances? Because as we were talking about before the show, say they, you predicted what, 86 and 76 for the record?
I think that's what I predicted.
I think
recall.
I was at 87 and 75. So let's say just to get to 86, which I think would have been a wild card team last year, right? Maybe 2 years ago.
It would have been close, but I don't think it would have quite made the second.
I think 2 years ago, I think both the Yankees and the Astros were 86 and 76 when they played, I think. Definitely one of them was.
Let's see. Last year, both wild cards had 89 wins in the American okay. League.
So it was definitely 2015.
The Astros, yeah, they made the wild card with 86 wins in 2015.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So let's just say the Royals get lucky and it only takes 86 wins this year. To get there out of 135 games left, the Royals have to go 77 and 58. Okay? So that's 19 games above 500 the rest of the way. And the last time the Royals even had a 135-game stretch that was even any close to that good was in 2015, and they were 82 and 53, I believe is what we said. So, yeah. I mean, and that team, suffice it to say, was way better than this year's iteration.
Yeah. And they had the, well, did that team, what were the, do you remember the dates in that? Had they acquired, I mean, they probably had, they'd acquired like Cueto and Zobrist in part of that.
Oh yeah, surely.
So, you know, that's not going to be a thing that's going to happen.
No, definitely not.
If the Royals are close, I don't know that they have a farm system they can use to buy any, you know, good trade target, even if they are close. So it's tough.
Maybe one piece, but not one that's even as good as either Cueto or Zobrist was. You mm-hmm. know, like, you look at who's going to be on the block this year, possibly. You know, like a Cole Hamels probably going to be on the block. The Rangers, if there's been any team that's more disappointing than the Royals, the Rangers so far. Maybe Blue the Blue Jays.
Yeah, Blue Jays have been awful.
Those
I guess I can't say they're awful and the Royals are a half game better than them.
Yeah.
No, I can say that. I can totally say that.
Yeah.
The Royals are pretty awful too.
Take wins where we can get them.
Right.
Those three teams, definitely most disappointing teams in baseball this year so far.
Yeah, I thought the Rangers would win that division.
Yeah, I think I picked them too as well. But I might have even picked the Rangers to go to the World Series.
I might have as well.
I think I had Rangers Cup. Actually, I can't remember.
I don't know.
I think I picked a team that wasn't Cleveland out of spite.
Sure. It's reasonable.
Yeah, it's reasonable indeed.
I don't blame you.
However, anyway, so, you know, Cole Hamels might be available. Like, do the Royals have enough guns in their farm system to get Cole Hamels? I don't think that they do.
I don't think they're close to that.
And, you know, I don't know. Trying to think what other big name pitchers like Johnny Cueto level would be available. And then if you even think, okay, you know, Ben Zobrist type player, you know, if you wanted a position player, I mean, it would essentially, you'd be trying to deal for Ben Zobrist again, cause you'd want a second baseman most likely, if assuming, cause if you're going to be in the position where you're making a trade to compete, then the only way that happens is if Jorge Soler comes back and plays really well. Like,
yeah, you fill that right field spot that has always been a problem.
Yeah, there's
all of this run.
There's simply no positive outcome that does not no positive Royals result that does not include Jorge Soler performing well as part of the equation.
Right. So he's not taken one swing at the big league level yet either. So, well, this year
are dependent on him. Yeah, this year. So if we're gonna play this out and do it the positive direction, then we're assuming that's the case. So right field is taken care of. All the positions are taken care of. The only position player or the only position that you would look to upgrade would be second base. And so who are you going to try and deal for? You know, I mean, who's going to be available? I don't know who would be available that you would even try and go for. I mean, it's obviously pretty early to try and, you know, think about those types of things, but
yeah.
There's, point being,
even so, who do the Royals have to trade?
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of their guys. Yeah, Mondesi, Dozier, maybe Cuthbert, but like...
Yeah, I mean, maybe Staumont.
Maybe, yeah.
I'd prefer they keep him, of course, but...
Sure, Strom. I mean, those are the kind of the guys, Khalil Lee, who is kind of just, you know, rocking through the South Atlantic League.
Yep.
That's about it, and the Royals sure as heck don't want to trade Khalil Lee for a chance at maybe making the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely not.
I mean, so, you know, I don't know. They've got a long way to go before that's even a discussion. So, I don't know. I guess the point we're making is that it's a tough long shot. So, I don't know. I don't know. It's disappointing.
It's very disappointing. It's
a disappointing season. And... disappointed all the players. Not all of
them. I think it was what you said earlier I hate this season. I hate everything. I think that pretty well sums it up for the feeling.
Well, yeah, so I mean, it's just like this past week. They have a good game, and then they have a really bad game. And you see signs of encouragement, and then, you know, they just as easily they go and get shut out the next game or get owned by Derek Holland the next game. You know, it's just – it's tough. You know, I'm not going to stop watching, but, oh, boy, it's not the most fun I've ever had in watching these games. So I hope they play better. You know, I think Soler's probably going to be coming up soon, so we'll get finally a chance to see if he can jumpstart something. He's hitting, you know, 354 or 343 in Omaha before tonight's game started. He has three homers down there and like 40 at bats. You know, he's done a few things. He's been hitting pretty well down there. Jorge Bonifacio is like 0 for his last 11. So he came on strong, and he had a five-game hitting streak and has two homers, including one that almost hit the Hall of Fame. But, you know, a small stretch of three games where he doesn't hit anything really kind of tanks his numbers. And Soler's got to come back before May 10th. So, you know, makes sense that they'll probably flip-flop those guys pretty soon. So we'll get to see Soler, and hopefully he can – add some power to this lineup and stretch it out, you know, give them some depth so that, you know, you don't get past the four or five spot and feel like nobody's going to be able to get a hit the rest of the lineup. Because that's when, you know, when those games have been bad, when the Royals aren't hitting anything, that's what it starts to feel like. It's like you get past Hosmer and nobody's got a chance to hit anything. And it's just like, that's a crappy way to go. So hopefully he can kind of keep that going when he gets up and makes his American League debut. We'll see. By the time we record the next show, he should be back as long as he doesn't suffer some kind of setback, knock on wood.
Yes.
Which would,
as long as he doesn't become the Kyle Zimmer of position players.
Right, which would be just exactly the luck of this season.
The true cherry on top of the shit Sunday that is 2017 so far for the Royals.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, we can, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, you can, or it's a player can come up and spark something. And next thing you know, I don't know. I mean, you know,
stranger things have happened.
Yeah. I mean, you think like, usually when you have a preponderance of evidence, to use a legal term, of a particular situation working out a certain way, you know, there's validity to it because, you know, it makes sense. Like, you know, whether you like advanced stats or not, you know, it's looking at certain things. And I mean, obviously the amount of teams that have gone under 500 in April is not an advanced stat, but, you know, you could probably try and argue, oh, it's circumstantial, you're not taking blah, 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 whatever. But, you know, the point is, like we talked about this previously, when you get off to a bad start, you know, not only is it hard just physically to make up the games, I'm not talking about like the physicality of the players on the field, but just like making up the ground of, you know, six games behind right now after 27 have been played. So making up that gap is difficult when, you know, you have to keep pace, number one, which is hard enough. You know, the Royals saw last year, they started out the season 12-6, had some bumps, but just keeping pace was too hard for them. So they weren't able to do it. So keeping pace is one thing, but then you got to be six games better. Now, granted, there's a lot of games left to play, so, you know, the Royals are benefiting from the fact that, you know, Cleveland didn't go out and start 21-6. You know, then they the Royals might as well just blow the whole thing up right now. But, you know, so every other team has gotten off to a somewhat slow start, you know, depending.
Detroit's,
if you're Minnesota,
if you're Minnesota,
you were expecting to be like 2-20 right now, then, they're off to a fast start for them. But the rest of the teams just gotten off to a mediocre to slow start. You know, the Royals are fortunate in that regard that as bad as they are, they're only six games back. So, yeah, you know, over the course of 135 games, is it really easy you know, it's not difficult to imagine them being six games over what Cleveland does, but is that a reality? You know, is that what's actually going to happen? You have to be able to assess that. And, you know, that's assuming that Cleveland doesn't do what they did last year, which is win 14 out of 15 games at one point, you know, and Corey Kluber just got hurt and he's on the DL now. Mm-hmm. So that swings again back into the Royals' favor. But just as you said, it's so frustrating because, okay, you know, and I don't ever, as much as I may sports hate on players, I don't ever wish injuries on players. Matter of fact, you know, especially if it comes to, I don't like having excuses for why my team won, you know? So mm-hmm. I'd rather the team I beat be at full strength so you can not have an excuse, you know, like I've seen a lot of Blue Jays fans blame the umpires for 2015. Like, that's what losers do. Sorry, yeah, no offense, Blue Jays fans, but that's true. I've been in that situation where I've blamed the refs or whatever, and it was because my team lost. So those are the things that happen. You know, it just that means that there's no valid reason for you to be able to point to as to why your team lost. So where was I going with this? I lost my train of thought now.
I think you were thinking that while you this is my interpretation where you were going, is that while you don't want anybody to be hurt,
oh yes,
if you can take advantage of the fact that they have gotten hurt, well, that's the game. That's just what happens.
Yes, so the Royals have an opportunity because Kluber got hurt that the Cleveland's going to be shorthanded from one of one of the best players in their team, if not the best. And one of their best pitchers, and now things are going to be out of whack for a little bit because they're going to have to shift around the rotation. You know, their extra weight is going to be on their other pitchers. So, you know, again, that just gives a little bit more margin for error for the Royals. But they've already used up their margin for error for the first half of the season. You know, if the Royals can get to the point where they're 10 games over by the All-Star break, then they've regained some margin for error. But until that occurs, there's no margin for error at this point. They've lost that ability because they started off so crappily to this season. It's over as far as margin for error is concerned. You have to be essentially perfect from here on out. And that's the most frustrating thing. Last night, May 3rd, I mean, because depending on when you're watching this or when you're listening to this podcast, you know, last night was so encouraging. It was such a good game.
Yeah.
They looked better offensively. Carnes
was great. He gave up one little dinker of a hit, and they didn't give up another hit until Strom came in and kind of left one a little too much over the plate.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, outside of that, the bullpen pitched really well. I mean, that's what the Royals on their best day. That's what the Royals really thought they would look like, you know. So you can hope for that, but then they come out today and they lay a stinker. They lose 8-3. You know, fart noise. Like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, and Ian Kennedy got hurt and left the game early.
Yeah,
so we'll see what happens there.
Because I mean, had they come out today and won,
would have
won the series against the White Sox.
You win a series
in the division. You're 10-17, which isn't a whole lot better, but you know, game. Yeah, you know, the White Sox are a game worse, and you've got a series with the Indians coming up this weekend that, you know, if you can ride that momentum and you can sweep the Indians, then all of a sudden Cleveland's 15-15 and the Royals are 13-17, and you're only two games back of Cleveland now, you know, depending on what the other teams do. So then you can start talking about, okay, the Royals can get back in this thing. They had a bad stretch, but, you know, if they can keep it rolling, they get back in this thing. But they lay an egg. They're 9-18, and now, you know what? If they lose 2 out of 3 from Cleveland, they're 10-20. Cleveland's 17-13, and you're 7 games back now of Cleveland. And what are you gonna do at that point? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you can say, okay, we've got so much of the season left that, you know, 7 games over the course of 130. Isn't that big of a deal, but every single game that hope becomes less and less and less viable. I mean,
yay.
I don't know. Yay.
Yeah, I mean, and it's tough. I mean, the thing is, the Royals can only control so much because, you know, they'll have this series against Cleveland, and yeah, they can sweep Cleveland. Let's say they do that. They're in better shape, but then Cleveland gets to go play other teams. You know, and at that point, all the Royals can do is try to win every game. And, you know, you win every game, you still need Cleveland to lose. So, you know, the Royals aren't going to win every game. So it's just, it's going to be tough. The Royals really kind of, you know, stuck themselves with a tough battle. I don't know how long Kennedy's going to be out, so that's going to be another thing. They'll have to fill that hole in the rotation somehow. You know, that if he's out, like last time he got the same kind of injury, it was a hamstring injury. He missed like three starts. So, you know, that's going to be three games where you're probably going to be pitching either Mike Minor or Jake Junis or Chris Young or, you know, who knows. That's not ideal. You know, not to say that those guys can't have good games, but the likelihood of Ian Kennedy having a good start versus any of those guys having good starts, you know, I would lean towards Kennedy when healthy. So that's not in the Royals' favor either. So, you know, it just makes it more difficult. And, you know, so I don't know. It's hard to pick what to root for when you want to be realistic, but you also want to be a fan and still think that, okay, maybe they can do something. Maybe they can make the magic happen. So I guess we'll see. I guess you root for Soler, you root for Carnes, you root for Strom, and you let the chips fall where they may, I guess. I don't know. I'm interested in what other people out there are doing to kind of deal with the fact that the Royals have forgotten how to win games. So, I don't know. Let us know, I guess, if you want to.
Yes. So,
because I don't know. I'm lost.
I've got something that I think will at least cheer me up, I'm hoping, this weekend.
Okay.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 comes out. So
there's that.
There is that.
There's also Dress to the Nines is on Sunday, so if anybody's interested in that, it's always pretty fun. The Salute to the Negro Leagues is out there, so that's always pretty cool. So you can go out there and dress in vintage stuff or in, you know, Sunday best stuff or whatever. It's always kind of a unique event that I think Kansas City does well, so that's another thing. So
yes,
that's, I would recommend that. You can go do that and then go see Guardians too and have yourself a full Sunday.
Boom.
It's right there.
That's one hell of a Sunday right there. I think I need a little bit sooner of a positivity bump. I think I may go see it Friday night.
Wow,
I don't.
That's why you're the
boom. Thanks, Rusty. There it is.
Rusty
may even be in the Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't know.
Could be. I don't know. They've got everybody in that.
That's true. It's a big cast. Very important. Very important big cast. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. I guess we should let everybody go.
Yeah. I think we got nothing more on this team. You know, we're hoping for some more positivity. We're trying the best we can to be positive. It's tough right now with this team. You know, we were talking about this. It's been since 2013 since the Royals have had a losing record. And as I was saying, you know, I was kind of hoping for a little bit more of a – or maybe I was saying this before the show. I don't know if I actually said this since, as part of the show. But I was hoping for more of a gradual fall off, if there was one, even a fall off. But if 9-18 is where they're at for the whole season, and it's going to get worse from here,
yeah,
it's going to be like that again. You know, it's one thing that we thought, oh, the Royals just forgot how to lose. You know, they were winning franchise for four, well, 500, but you know, non-losing franchise for four seasons. So, you know, did the Royals forget how to lose? That's great, but they haven't forgotten how to lose, but we have forgotten how to have a podcast for a losing team. It's been so long. You know, it's I don't know. Do we need to start talking about the minor leagues again, maybe? Crap.
I guess we probably do.
They don't even have anything to talk about. They don't even, we already talked about who they have to trade, which is essentially what we'd be talking about. So we got like four players. We could have a Josh Staumont watch segment every week. Is this what our lives have come to now as Royals fans? We gotta talk about Josh Staumont every week. I mean, I'm okay with that if that's what it is. I'm excited for Staumont, but
yeah,
I don't know, man.
That might be it.
I don't know.
Well. Me neither, so we'll figure it out, I guess.
We'll figure it out together.
Yeah.
Like, that's why we're here. You and I, we can get ourselves through this. So with that, we'll leave you this evening. Thanks to Rusty Kuntz, our special guest on the show, in bobblehead form. Thank you so much.
Right. I wonder if I can get away.
Yep.
That's great. I wonder if I could get away with posting the show with Rusty as a guest. Probably not. Be fake news.
Yeah, fake news. Hey, why the hell not? Our president endorses it.
Yeah, what the hell?
What the hell? Maybe if you put a picture of the bobblehead instead of our normal logo, maybe people won't be as... People would probably be mad. I'd be mad.
Yeah, it'd be a little weird.
Maybe that's our goal, though. We should try and maybe we can see if we have some sort of connection to get Rusty Kuntz on as a guest. I doubt it will ever happen, but
I don't know. We can try.
It would make this season better so far. That's
it would.
For sure.
He would definitely lift everybody's spirits. So I think that would be a worthy cause if we could swing it somehow.
Yes. So we'll work on that. See if it's possible. Who knows? Don't get your hopes up. But
yeah, I wouldn't get your hopes
some,
up.
We'll put some.
We'll see.
See if it's something that could possibly be done.
Sure.
Who knows? but we will be back next week with or without Rusty Kuntz. He'll be here in bobblehead form for the rest of the season, though. You can count on that.
As long as the battery lasts.
As long as the battery lasts.
I don't know how to get to the battery in this thing.
I don't know. We'll find it. Don't you worry. We'll find it. You know, actually, one more thing before we go. So this is another Chiefs comment. But so Jamaal Charles, one of the best Chiefs running back in Chiefs history, in terms of all the meaningful statistical categories, of course, recently signed with the Denver Broncos. And as you know, people who've paid any attention over the years to the show, Denver Broncos are the most hated franchise or team of any sport of any kind for me. I would, if the Broncos were playing the Missouri Tigers, I would root for the Missouri Tigers. I'd be decked out in black and gold just so long as I would ensure as much pain and suffering for Broncos and their fans as humanly possible, because I hate that organization. So Jamaal Charles signed there. It's let me be clear. I am not mad about Jamaal Charles, or I'm not mad at Jamaal Charles. He does what he needs to do. Go for it. I don't think the Chiefs did anything wrong. I don't think Charles has done anything wrong. But just as a fan, it hurts my soul. And I tweeted about it. And, of course, Troy tweets back, and he's like, you need to calm down. I don't think Kelly's will allow you to burn another bobblehead on the deck. If you remember... God, what this was 4 years ago?
That was 2012. 2012,
5 years ago, when Peyton Manning signed, and I had my Peyton Manning Colts bobblehead that I tried to burn at Kelly's. We had a big, massive blowout show there I think it was to start the season, or was it midseason?
It was during spring training, yeah. It was in late March. It was the 1 year anniversary show.
That's right. Wow. Just the 1 year. But,
right.
so long ago.
Yeah.
But anyway. So that was a fun memory. That was a fun show. We had a lot of people there for that. That was a good time. But so just a little trip down memory lane. No burning bobbleheads. I don't even have a Jamaal Charles bobblehead, so we won't burn one. But good luck to him in Denver, so long as it doesn't affect Kansas City in any way, which it would definitely would because they're in the same division. So
sure.
Anyway, I wish no ill will on Jamaal Charles, but it does hurt my soul to see him as a Bronco. So that just made me more depressed. So unfortunately, no leaving on a positive note. Except, can we get one more? Can we get one more Rusty quote?
Sure.
That's a positive. That's a positive for us.
Oh, player! Now you're cooking.
There we go. That's the best one. So I feel better now. It's just, it's like magic.
All right.
It's like eating an entire pixie stick at one time. So with that, we'll leave you. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week talking about more Royals baseball. Hopefully, please, Royals, more positive things than what's been so far, because there's no more Rusty Koontz bobbleheads that are coming out this year. So hopefully we can get some positivity. So be back next week. Thank you all so much for listening. Be sure to visit our sponsors. Go to Kelly's Westport Inn. Have yourself a beer. Have yourself a good time. Maybe get some pizza, Joe's Pizza, in the back. It's up to you, but always be sure, if you're in Westport, hit them up. Say hi. They're great people. It's fun times. And BP Kansas City, definitely make sure you go check out tomorrow, of course, since we're recording on Thursday. Tomorrow, of course, will be Friday, and Friday means Friday Notes from Lesky.
I'm
going to give you lots of good little tidbits about the Royals and about their upcoming series with Cleveland. So be sure to go and check that out. Plus, we've always got hashtag content from all our good fantastic writers that we have on staff, so always be checking that, be checking the Twitter feed and so on and so forth. So tune in next week. We'll be back again, as I said, hopefully more positive Royals talk for next week.
I hope
Yes, God please. But until then, thank you so much for stopping by. We'll see you next week, and as always, go Royals.
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Together and we'll get it undone someday when you hit it much lighter. Someday, yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Kansas City Baseball Vault. You can follow us on Twitter at KC Baseball Vault. You can also find us on Baseball Prospectus Kansas City at bpkansascity.com. You can follow BPKC on Twitter at bprokansascity. Also, you can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, through Stitcher, or whatever podcast app you like. And if you have any questions, comments, or if you just want to say hi, send those emails to KansasCityBaseballVault@gmail.com. Someday.